All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Symbol of Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and we are going to continue in our Sunday school hour. I want to thank God for all of you who are tuning in here with us online, and I want to thank God for all of you who have joined us in-house. Again, thank God for you being faithful here today. Truly do appreciate you joining us. And I hope and pray that today you are encouraged by our study and what we are currently going through. This is going to be our part number 5 in our study of our Sunday school material titled Fascinating Truths, written by Brother James W. Knox of Bible Baptist Church in Deland, Florida. And we are almost done with this book. We got 2 more chapters to go. And then for those of you who remember from our last announcement, we did order our newest Sunday school book. It's titled Signs, Wonders, and Miracles. It's going to be very good for those of us that want to study a biblical approach to the spiritual gifts and how to discern those things, especially when our contemporary brethren, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Spanish-speaking, English-speaking, whatever English language-speaking, when they want to get excited in the Spirit, this book will give you a solid Bible-based approach to how to discern those particular gifts, its original purpose, its intent, its audience. It's very good. This book ministered to me a lot in my private study, and I think it'll do a good job for our corporate church gathering. So we'll get to that book after we're done with our next 2 chapters here in Fascinating Truth. So let's go ahead and open up page 161. Where we left off, page 161, and we just finished talking about the Ezekiel chapter in regards to the throne of God. And this particular chapter that we're discussing is, where is Jesus' throne? And we're going to pick up here in Ezekiel chapter 1, where we left off last Sunday school, page 161, and the particular chapter that we're looking at here in Ezekiel 1 is going to describe the throne of God. But the whole big picture that we're learning in our Sunday school hour is that Jesus Christ is currently seated at the right hand of God the Father, Almighty Jehovah, in heaven, interceding on behalf of the New Testament church. One day he will return physically to this earth in Jerusalem and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his own throne. So here is going to be an awesome vision of God's throne from the perspective of the prophet Ezekiel. Before we start, let's go and pray. Father, we thank you for today. We pray and ask God that you would fill us with your Spirit. Help us to study the material that is presented to us today, to be challenged by it, and also for us to gain information that will help us to understand your Bible that much better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so verse number 1. Let's go to verse number 4. Verse number 4. All right, so Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And let's go down to verse number, verse 12. Let's go to verse number 12. And they went everyone straight forward whither the Spirit was to go. They went and they turned not when they went. And let's continue to verse number 14. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. There is the biblical flash right there. Anybody out there? No? Okay. Verse 15. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his 4 faces, the appearance of the wheels, and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they 4 had 1 likeness, and their appearance as their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Do we see that? And now let's go down to verses 17 through 21. When they went upon their 4 sides, and they went not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them 4. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went, thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. How about that? And then lastly, verses 26 to 28. And above the firmament there was over their heads was, I'm sorry, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, look at that, his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So here's what we saw. Number one, when we go back earlier in the verses to verse 14 through 16, we saw that the Bible described that the spirits were controlling these wheels. There was a wheel within the wheel. Number two, the description is that the wheel was full of eyes. Number three, the wheel was full of eyes round about. Number four, with what looked like a beam of light emanating from within. Number five, it did not turn, but changed direction at 90-degree angles. 90-degree angles. So just like this here, boom, boom, boom. Just super fast, faster than lightning, the wheels were traveling. Now this thing that Ezekiel saw contains and transports the throne of God. How about that? So if we go to verse 28, what he saw in the appearance above this particular throne was like a rainbow, as it explains there. And this was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So remember earlier in verse number 26 was the likeness of a throne. And so these particular living creatures inside that move and operate it, it was controlled by a spirit. Never mind all the cheap movies of close encounters and alien contacts and UFOs. If you had an encounter with the vehicle Ezekiel saw, it would change your life one way or another. Now, what does all this have to do with Jesus Christ on his throne? We're going to come back to Daniel chapter 7. Among those few men who still study and teach the Bible, there is a general consensus that there are seven biblical judgments, and they are generally given as the following. So here we have the first of the general consensus among Bible-believing brethren, the seven biblical judgments from Daniel 7. Number one, the universe at the fall of Satan. Throughout your Bible, we can observe that after Lucifer rebelled from God and all that went down with the heavenly hosts, there was a judgment of the universe at his fall. And that's where, again, there's some particulars that brethren agree or disagree with the judgment of the universe, with the flooding of the universe, but we're not going to make that dogmatic. But this brother particularly agrees, and some of my independent fundamental do, brethren, agree with that. I happen to side with that view, but again, that's we're gonna leave it to you to do your study. Number two, the earth at the time of the flood. We all agree with that. Number three, sins on the Son of God on the cross, that the judgment for our sins was placed upon his Son. We believe that. Number four, the believer as to works at the judgment seat of Christ, the fourth biblical judgment we see in the Bible. We all agree on that. Number five, the Jew as to the rejection of Messiah in the Great Tribulation. We're studying this right now in our Sunday service, but we obviously acknowledge that from the Bible. Number six, the sixth judgment from the Bible, the nations as to their treatment of the Jew at the second coming. We believe that, the judgment of the nations. And ultimately, number seven, the last biblical judgment we see, the white throne judgment. Now, I know that seven is God's number of completion. By the way, for those of you who want to study about that, you can look up Pastor Michael Hogard. He has a phenomenal series on the YouTube, the King James Bible Code. the study of numbers, numerology in the King James Bible. That guy has it all for you to learn about number seven. What does number six, you know, denote? But generally, all the Christians say number seven is God's number of completion or perfection by Genesis and so on. I know seven is God's full and perfect number, but here's the problem. If you have the seventh judgment dealing with the new heaven and new earth being introduced by the judgment of fire set forth in 2 Peter chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 26, your numerology matches complete judgment but does not allow for a new beginning. When something new shows up in the Word of God, it is frequently on the eighth day, top of page 162, the eighth in order or eighth in a sequence. Somehow, you are going to have to find seven judgments and then an eighth, which is the first or a new beginning. It always seemed to me there was a judgment missing somewhere, so I just like how he plugs that in to all of our Bible-believing brethren who have their charts and their images of seven dispensation, seven, seven, seven. What about the eighth day? After the seventh day, the next day continues, and that's the beginning of, obviously, whatever God has already done from day one through seven, etc., etc. It is in Daniel 7, and here's what we're going to see here. Let's go to Daniel 7. For those of you who have the book, you already have the verse quoted there for you, but for the online crowd, I'll go there. Daniel 7, verse number 9, what are we talking about? Well, if we focus, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter number 1. We're talking about the throne of God. We're talking about the throne of God, so don't lose that mind. In Daniel 7, let's go to verse number 9. The Bible says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame. And look at this in verse 9, his wheels as burning fire. How about that, church? That's pretty cool. So wait a minute. I took a great deal of time, Brother James says, to show you that Jesus Christ is not on a throne until he gets back to earth. Daniel is seeing someone on a throne, and there are wheels of fire underneath that throne. That is the throne of God the Father. Anybody? No? The Son doesn't have a throne in the third heaven at this time. Look at verse number 10. That's good. Let's go to verse number 10. Verse number 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, talking about God the Father in verse number 9. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. There is a judgment. I think we all can obviously observe that from the study in Daniel. That cannot be the great white throne judgment because there is too much left to happen. In Daniel chapter 8, we still have some tribulation material to deal with. Let's go to Daniel chapter number 8 and verse number 11. The Bible says here, yet he magnified himself even to the prince. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Sorry, I think he was just quoting Daniel chapter 8. Let me go back to verse 11 here in Daniel 7. Yes, there we go. Okay. So verse 11 in Daniel chapter 7, I beheld then because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. This judgment connects time-wise with the destruction of the beast at the end of the great tribulation. Go to verse number 12. As concerning the rest of the beasts, notice plural, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Question, where is the dominion? It is up in the second heaven, isn't it? Aren't those the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world? How about that? So church, let's stop from the book. Let's focus here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6. We've already talked about this a lot, but let's just remind ourselves of the scripture doctrine that we're learning from Brother James here and other great brethren that, again, right now in the heavenly places, in the high places, the Bible clearly tells us that we have these principalities and powers currently ruling and reigning and having dominion over the earth. Dominion over the earth. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 12, in context, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul writing to Christians, reminding us of our warfare, our battle, not against flesh and blood, our fellow man, but against these invisible enemies, not a virus from China or the Fauci flu, the Kung flu, but we're talking about spiritual entities, amen. Verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Brother James has been telling us over and over again, not the third heaven, because that's where God dwells, Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Majesty on high, the holy angels, the saints of old. Not the first heaven, this is not the physical earth here that they're ruling in or having dominion. They have dominion over, so they must be in the high places, which is that in between the first and third heaven, which is the second heaven. And so I like how he points it out. So then if we compare Scripture with Scripture, Daniel 7 with Ephesians 6, Revelation 11, 5, and all these other scriptures as it pertains to the judgment of God, when those beasts, plural, not just the beast of Revelation that we're all familiar with, the Antichrist, but these plurality of beasts are going to have their dominion taken away. But let's go back to Daniel 7. For those of us who are awake, praise the Lord. If y'all are getting tired, got plenty of coffee, shoot yourself up with some caffeine. Amen. Here we go. Daniel 7. Let's go to here to verse number 10 once again. In verse 9, Daniel observes the Ancient of Days. We know that to be God the Father. His throne came down, and he is seeing that throne of the Father. In verse number 10, out of his throne issued fire and all these crazy, amazing supernatural phenomena, but there's a judgment. The Father's throne coming out of the third heaven into this realm, not on the earth yet, because like Brother James said in Daniel chapter 8, we're still dealing with tribulation issue. And in this judgment, what do we see here? Verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. That is right prior to the second advent, before the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth for the second time bodily in Jerusalem on through the East Gate, Mount of Olivet. The Father is going to descend into that high places. And all those beasts, plural, the principalities and the powers, the evil angels and their dominions that they have, like we read in Daniel 7, the prince of Persia, the kings that the angelic ambassadors fight against when they were coming down to give Daniel the message, the Father is going to judge them and is going to take away their dominion and is going to give it to his Son. And then, Revelation 11, 5, what do we read? We're rejoicing because the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So that's why I wrote in a Facebook post the other day for all the Christians that are getting all emotional and are charismatic false prophets with their false prophecies, Trump, Trump, Trump. If it doesn't go our way that we pray for, ultimately it's never going to go his way until he judges the principalities and powers, removes Satan out of the playing field, Christ returns to his throne in Jerusalem to reign. Until then, this is still under the influence and dominion of the principalities, the powers, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the devil. So all of our charismatic brethren, God, 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 God's still on the throne. He is. That's the point. He's not here yet. So if it doesn't go all Holy Spirit-filled prayer my way, my declaiming with name and sound authority over my voting, don't be surprised, fool, okay? Because you're not studying this book. It ain't going to happen until he removes them from their positions of dominion and delivers them unto his Son. That'll be awesome to see, by the way. Everybody gets excited by the comic books and the imaginations of men with their movies nowadays with the spiritual galactic warfare, which ironically, Bible times, Revelation, there's going to be some phenomena going down there. I think all the hearts of mankind are just being subliminally prepared for all the supernatural activity that we will see in the latter days, but nothing like this throne of God coming down to judge these principalities and powers. Talk about that. Okay, back to the book, page 163. We're going to be in the middle of the paragraph here. 163. Now, if those words mean what they say, what do you have? At the close of the great tribulation, the throne of God the Father is transported into the second heaven, and God the Father judges the principalities and powers and takes away from their dominion over the governments of this earth. When that is completed, God the Son comes, stands before that throne, and the Father makes the Son's enemies his footstool. How about that, church? That's a blessing. The Father gives the earthly kingdoms to the Son while both are in the second heaven. Then the Son comes to earth to destroy all earthly powers that had allied themselves with the principalities and powers at Armageddon. We'll talk about that. And establishes the kingdom given him by his Father. That is what the Bible says. You can't make it say anything else. What does that give you? That gives you seven judgments and the eighth, church, focusing, the new beginning. I like that. Let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. For those of you who have your book, we're on the bottom of page number 163. Matthew 26, and we're going to read here going down to verse 62 through 64. Matthew 26. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ standing before Pontius Pilate and the accusations and so on and so forth. Oh, no, I apologize. Before the Sanhedrin, I apologize. In verse number 62, here we have the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? Remember the false testimony from these Jews? They got the baser sort fellows to witness against them. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Notice there is a comma. Anybody? The comma here? What is Jesus going to do during the church age? He is going to sit on the right hand of power. That is the Father's right hand. Do you see what he just said there? Then, at the end of the tribulation, he is coming in the clouds of heaven. Right now, he is at the right hand of the Father in the third heaven. He is coming in the clouds, that is the first heaven. God the Father is going to give his Son the earthly reward for his cross work in the second heaven. Now, by virtue of his resurrection, Jesus was given all power in heaven and on earth. Let's go to Matthew 28. We talked about this at our Friday night discipleship class, for those of you who remember. But here's what the Lord said in Matthew 28:18: All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But he does not make full use of this power until the close of the great tribulation. Remember the announcement that's made in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15. I apologize. Earlier I was saying Revelation 11:5. I meant to say Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15. Notice here, the great announcement to come. The seven angels sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that announcement. Amen. The kingdoms of our Lord, that is the Father at this time, made the kingdoms of his Christ, that is the Son. And where is that announcement made? It is not made on earth. Look at it. There were great voices in heaven. Oh, there you go. The thousands, thousands round about that throne, Daniel chapter 7, remember that? And Revelation 5:11, they are rejoicing as they see the Father give the kingdoms to the Son. So when the sun lands on the Mount of Olives, as I just briefly quoted earlier, and we see that prophesied hundreds of years before, thousands, if you will, Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 4, talking about when the Lord will come back to the earth. Look at verse 3 of Zechariah 14. I have it on the screen if you guys want to check it out. The Bible says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." There is the prophetic return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other ones, Luke 24, 50 through 54, and Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. He has the kingdoms, and he is just coming to rid this earth of the riffraff. All the shenanigans, as the political people are saying. And they can't resist because the power under which they operated has been broken. How about that? Praise God for giving us the Bible. What a light, what a truth, what hope for the future. If the rapture takes place tonight, I will be with Jesus Christ. While the 7 years of Jacob's trouble run their course on the earth, the judgment seat of Christ takes place in the third heaven. Once both those great judgments are completed, the Father's throne will be carried down to the second heaven, where he will judge the principalities and powers. Then Christ and his church mount up for the ride to earth. Talk about that. On the way, they stop at the Father's throne, where the Father crowns him with many crowns. Now wearing the diadems taken from Satan's officers, a banner is given Jesus Christ to wear, the banner that says, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen. So the one question remains. If the Father has done away with the spiritual rulers at the judgment of the principalities and powers, and the Son does away with the human rulers at his second coming, who are the kings over which Jesus is the king? Are you ready? They are the born-again believers who make up the New Testament church. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1 before we close. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5 through 6. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Revelation chapter 5, verse number 10. Here's what that Holy Bible says. Revelation 5, verse number 10. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Praise the Lord for all these scriptures. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So what do we end with, church? Praise the Lord. For 1,000 years, we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ as he sits on the throne of his father David at Jerusalem. Worthy is the Lamb. How about that? So today, that concluded our chapter on where is Jesus' throne. So now, New Testament believer, for those of you who have been studying with us, focusing with us, now you know the biblical answer when people ask you, so where is Jesus? What is he doing right now? He is sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for Christians. One day, he will return to physically inhabit a throne, sit on it, judge all the nations, all the kings of this earth. But on his way back down from the third heaven to the earth, there's going to be a quick stop there where the Father's throne descends, judges the principalities, the powers, the devils. Their dominion is removed from them. Their dominion is taken from them. They're given to the Son. They're all going to bow the knee, praise the Lord. And the Son is crowned with many crowns, the scripture says. And then what do we all do as the New Age, the New Testament Christian saints? We're following the Lord. We're in the heavenly scene in the background. Somehow, someway, supernaturally, horses appear out of nowhere. Maybe they're there already. I don't know. But we're all going to be riding back with him to this earth. Talk about the craziest trip you'll ever take in your life. And that's when he does what he does. The rest of Revelation, the judgment, you know, all the bloodshed that's going to be spilled in Armageddon, the man of war the scripture talks about. The Lord is going to handle business and we come along fighting. Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad to be saved. Are you glad to be saved? Because I'm glad to escape that wrath of God to come. Praise the Lord. All right. So now we know the Bible answers, and now you have that much more tool in your spiritual tool shed to defend and so on and so forth. So the last two chapters that we're going to read, and then we'll get to our new Sunday school book, Dreams. So the study, the Bible doctrine on dreams. What about dreams? And then the heathen. You know, what about people who had never heard of Christ? How do we understand the Bible teaching on that? Really good. And then we'll start our new book in about 2 weeks or so, or three. We'll see how long it'll take us to get through that. All right, church, the Lord bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you in about 15.